Well, if you would, turn with me in your Bible to 1 John. I know our series is on Genesis. We'll get there after this, but I'd like to read with you 1 John first today. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11 through 20. And so if you would follow along, the passage is a little longer, so I won't ask you to stand this morning, but if you would read with 1 John chapter 3, verse 11 through 20, that will be the foundation of our sermon as we get into Genesis chapter 4 this morning. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11 through 20. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. But do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. But whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Let's pray together. Most High and Heavenly Father, as we talk about the fact that there are two tracks that we can be on today, either the line of Cain or the line of faith, we ask that you would allow us to remember that the line of faith is marked by love and grace, which multiplies. Yet when we see abuse and we say harm and evil, we know that we are talking about the line of the devil, the children who belong to those with Cain, who is from the evil one. Help us in grace to follow your Son and by his example to live. Amen. Well, Genesis chapter 4 is where we're at. We're in a series of understanding Genesis, and I read from 1 John today so that we understand the theological underpinnings of what we see in Genesis chapter 4, or really how the New Testament is understanding what we're reading. Our sermon today is called Multiplying Grace, because we're going to see that Jesus will flip this line of Cain on its head in the New Testament. Genesis chapter 4, verse 17 through 25 forms the foundation of where we're at in Genesis. Now, we've walked through Genesis. We saw in Genesis chapter 1 that God created the world and that everything in it was good. Then, by the time we got to chapter 2, we saw that man and woman were created and that they were complementary in that fact. Then Genesis 3, we had the fall of man, and we're still talking about the fall of man. We said, well, how bad could sin be? Does it pass on to children? And last week we saw in Cain and Abel that yes, it passes on. But it doesn't just pass on to children, it multiplies in evil. Genesis chapter 4, verse 17. Then Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. When he built a city, he called the name of the city after his son, Enoch. To Enoch was born Irad, and to Irad fathered Methuselah, and to Methuselah fathered Methuselah, and Methuselah fathered Lamech. Now pay attention to that Lamech character. He comes seven generations after. He's the seventh in line, that biblical number seven, usually important, but it tells us more about Lamech, and I want you to pay attention to Lamech. Lamech took two wives. The name of one was Adah, and the name of the other was Zillah. Adah bore Jubal, and he was the father of those who dwell in tents and livestock. His brother's name was Jubal, and he was the father of those who play the lyre and the pipe. Zillah also bore Tubal-Cain, and he was the forger of instruments in bronze and iron. The sisters of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Verse 23, pay attention. Lamech said this to his wife. Actually, this is a song. He sang this to his wife. Adah and Zillah, hear my voice. You wives of Lamech, listen to what I say. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. If Cain is avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. So have you ever noticed that when you're on the road, anyone who's driving faster than you is crazy, and anyone who's driving slower than you is insane? You're the only right one in the situation. I know when I was younger, road rage was a problem. Whether you were behind someone on the highway in Texas going too slow, or you were simply just going, well, I'm obeying the speed limit. Look at all these crazy people rushing by me. They're going to cause an accident. Then you get angry at it. You always said, well, the situation is what's causing my anger. It's not me. It's never me. Ever been at home and realize you're in an argument and you say, well, that person is angry because of the situation they're in. If we change the situation, we'd all just be better. Well, is it the case that if we changed our situation, that all of our sin would just go away? That if everyone driving was driving like me, we would just have peaceful and serene lives? What we're going to see today is that is not the case. That despite the fact that when people have good things and they do good things, that there's still this underpinning disposition towards sin. Because there are two lines, remember. Now we have the line of Cain, also called children of the devil in 1 John chapter 3. That line is always heading towards death and destruction, but we're going to introduce next week the line of faith through Seth that is going towards the heavenly kingdom. For the rest of the Bible, those are the two tracks. And I use tracks in terms of a train track, a path, a road that you're walking down. But I want you to notice this today, because this is part of the problem of how we understand humanity. A lot of times we think, well, when I'm in a bad situation, I act in a bad way, but everybody else has an evil disposition. They're just evil all the time, and I have to deal with evil. But the fact is that evil is part of who we are now. It is ingrained in the fact that we do not do what is right, even when we have the ability to do what is right. And so Cain knew his life, and he conceived and bore a son. Then Cain builds a city, and then he has Lamech as a great-grandson, and Lamech has two wives, one whose name is Ada and one is Zillah. Ada means beautiful face. Zillah means beautiful voice. So Lamech is married to two very beautiful people. And his sons are highly successful individuals. You see here in the scripture that Jabal is the father of those who dwell in tents and livestock. He's considered the inventor of animal husbandry. He turns shepherding into a lucrative business. He's doing very successful things. Well, not only that, but his brother is the father of instruments and music. Anybody like instruments and music? You enjoy a little bit of rock and roll with those instruments? Well, here's a guy who's playing the lute and lyre, so anytime you get out a lute or a lyre, you say thank you to Jabal. I don't remember the last time I played a lyre. Well, he's the father of musical instruments. He's highly successful. Well, not only that, his brother, Tubal Cain, invents all sorts of hammers and tools. The father of bronze and iron. Anytime you got a hammer to solve your life's problem, you can say thank you to Tubal Cain, who invented instruments to work with. These boys are highly successful, but that's the problem, isn't it, with humanity? That we want this line of evil to be identified as evil easily. We like the children's stories where the good guys wear the bright colors and the bad guys are easily identified by wearing all black and they're just evil all the time. But that's not the case, is it? When I look at myself, when I deal with myself, evil seems to pop up its head even in the best of my intentions. Some of you are highly successful people and college students, you're going out. You're going to go to college to learn to be successful. But what you're going to see is that success doesn't make you good. through the line of Cain, which was from the children of the devil, according to John chapter 3. These boys are successful, but they're still doing evil, because in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, this is what God has to say about the line of Cain. The Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, that every intention of thoughts of his heart was evil continually. Was God wrong? That the intentions of man's heart are bent towards evil continually? See, the problem of being in the line of Cain isn't that we don't do good things. It's that our good things always seem to be tampered with a little bit of evil. A little bit of selfishness. I can be a good father, but am I being a good father so that people know that I'm a good father? Do I put things up on Facebook so that people would know how good of a week I'm having? Do I take a picture of me doing a Bible study with my coffee next to it so that people know I did a Bible study? I can do that. But my reward is in the fact that my motives were so that other people would see that I was doing a good thing. Not that I was actually serving God with all of my heart. See, the difference is that out of the mouth, the heart speaks. And the heart is bent towards evil. Out of the outflow of a person's heart, the mouth speaks. So when I'm in a situation in the car driving and I shout, "Hey, you're crazy, get out the way." Well, it comes in from my heart. Where does that anger come from? Is it my situation, or is my situation just reflecting the disposition of my heart? Kid spills milk on the ground third time in a row. Do we yell at him? Well, where does that yelling come from? Was it really about the milk? Was it about the fact that I am not as patient of a parent as I should be? Is it because actually I value more my own comfort and the fact that I don't want to have to keep cleaning up messes more than I value my son's learning how to deal with a cup with no lid? Who's really at fault here? Well, there's a problem. The children of the devil do good things. They're good people. They're successful people. But they're selfish people. Selfishness, as we saw in John chapter 3, leads us to say, well, I've got good things, but I'm going to withhold that from other people because I love myself more than them. Well, Abraham Maslow, do you know him? He's the guy who created the hierarchy of needs. You've probably seen his triangle in school. Here's what he has to say. The fact that people are good. Give people affection and security, and they will give affection and be secure in their feelings and their behavior. Is that right? Is he right that people are basically good, and if they just had good things, if you just educate them, if you would just legislate them, people would do good things. Right? If they just felt loved. Is that what the news is telling us this week? Consider the maestro of New York, who recently got in the headlines by using his power as the best maestro we've ever had of our orchestra in New York City. Is now under arrest because he was using his authority to lead people into sexual behavior with him. He was so successful. He had everything that he needed. People adored him. Was he a good person? Consider again, we have that Bill Cosby story. He was so successful. He did so many good things. But he had this problem on the side. Would we say, well, he only assaulted a few women? He made many more women laugh. So he's mostly good. Would we say that after the court comes back and says, you're guilty of assaulting women? Consider Lamech. Here he is for you to understand what the line of Cain is like. You see, while Ada and Zillah got to listen to their boy who was leading music, inventing instruments, they got to hear the sweet, melodious sounds of singing from their boys. But then 5 o'clock rolled around and everybody clammed up. Dad was coming home, takes the lute from one of the boys, stares at his wives in the face and says, "Listen to this. I wrote a song for you, wives. Here's what I have to sing. Ada and Zillah, beautiful face, beautiful voice, hear my voice. You wives of Lamech, listen and understand what I'm saying to you. I've killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. If Cain's revenge is sevenfold, Lamech's is 77-fold. It says, women, pay attention to me. I'm successful, I'm great. Hear my voice. So the focus of these verses is actually on the word I. Listen to me. When I ran into someone and he bumped me, I killed him. When someone didn't hold the door for me, I yelled at him. When someone was driving past me in their car, I got angry at them. And I followed them where they were going. You ever have that happen? I've had someone follow me home, get out of their car and start yelling at me for how I was driving. A little scary as a 16-year-old boy to just have a guy yelling at me, "Do you know how you were driving?" I do now. Thank you. But there are plenty of people in Somerville County who come home to Lamech every night. Somebody who flies off the handle. Understand this, and this needs to be said. Abuse, both physical and verbal, both physical and verbal at home, is always in the Bible a clear sign of being in the line of the devil. Abuse is not to be tolerated among the children of faith. It is not okay to go home and sing a song to your wife about how abusive you are and they need to pay attention. It is not okay to go home and threaten each other over in our park. There's a monument. It's just right over here. It's a monument to abused children. Do you think the line of Cain is just situational? That if somehow this man was more successful, he wouldn't have abused his children? No. Sin is a heart matter. It goes all the way to the root, and I can see it in myself every single week. That I am just on that borderline of multiplying evil. That when somebody tips over a glass of milk, I want to get angry and make it a big deal. When somebody slights me in just a little way, or someone says something that I don't like, I feel like I have to give a response. Have you been there? You ever read someone on Facebook? You say, "Well, I gotta say something." And then the words that you're choosing, do they sound more like Christ or Lamech? Wives of Lamech, listen to me. If Cain gets angry 7 times, I get angry 70 times 7 is what he says. That's the line of the devil. That's what we have to know is in our hearts before we turn to the gospel. But the best part about this is that there is something outside of this evil. See, all this line of Cain is interesting. It's sandwiched between 2 verses of hope. And I'm going to call them birth announcements today. Birth announcements. There's 2 birth announcements in chapter 4. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and she bore Cain, saying, "I've gotten a man with the help of the Lord." It's a song of praise This baby has come from God. But then there's the second birth announcement, and this one, having now spent a lot of time with it, has caused me much heartache. Look at chapter 4, verse 25. Adam knew his wife again. She bore a son, and she called his name Seth. Listen to the birth announcement on this one. Remember, the last one was, the Lord has given me a man with his help. This one is, God has appointed for me another offspring instead of Abel, for Cain killed him. The first one is a shout of praise and glory. The second one removes all personal words. The reason why she doesn't say Lord there is she's using an impersonal name for God. Originally, she's saying, my God, my Lord has given me a baby. But in the second one, she says, that guy upstairs, he gave me another one of these things. See, the word offspring is appropriate. The NIV, I think, makes it too nice. It says, he's given me another child. That's not the word that she uses. She uses a word that means another one of those. See, she went from saying, my Lord has helped me, to saying, God, what am I going to do? The first one murdered the second one, and now he's gone. What am I going to do? What hope is there? All I can see is that evil is multiplied by evil. My great-grandchildren are going home and abusing their wives. God, why give me another one of those? Verse 26. To Seth was also born, and he called his name Enosh. Now, listen. At that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. See, the mom guilt here is real, isn't it? You're looking at your children and your grandchildren, and you say, what could I have done? How can I raise another one? But then, here comes this grandchild, who's completely different from the line of Cain. Here comes this grandchild. And it says, at that time, people began to sing to the Lord. See, while we have this song in the Bible of abuse, we also have this chord of hope. That there is a different pathway for all of us. And here is how Jesus describes the line of faith. Look at Matthew chapter 18, verse 22. Now, there are two places in which Jesus talks about how to deal with sin. And one time he references the verse, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. Remember, that's grace, to give someone justice. We're not going to multiply evil 77-fold. But here comes Peter, and he says, Jesus, you taught us in Matthew chapter 5 how to forgive people. But I got a question for you. How many times I got to do that? I mean, come on. How many times do I really have to forgive someone to be in the kingdom of God? Peter came up in verse 21 to him and said, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me? Will I forgive him? As many as 7 times? See, there was this rule that came out of Lamech's song. That really, I can forgive someone 7 times because Cain's avenged with 7. But Jesus says this. He takes the last verse of Lamech's song. It's the same song with different words. Pay attention. Jesus said to him, I don't say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. He goes all the way back to Genesis 4 and says, look, here's what the line of Cain does. It multiplies evil. 70 times 7. If Cain is bad, I'm worse, and I will have my revenge. But then Jesus picks up that same tune and changes the words. And he says, hear me, children of faith. Listen to my words. Forgive a man for wounding you. If somebody ask you to go a mile with them, go another mile. If someone strikes you on the cheek, turn them the other also. And forgive them 70 times 7. children of faith multiply grace. Children of faith should be known for multiplying grace. Here is how you know if you're a child of the devil. The child of the devil naturally multiplies evil, but if you are belonging to Jesus, you will seek to naturally give grace. This is why 1 John says this. We read it this morning. By this we know love, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. He laid down His life for us. So how do I multiply grace? Well, first off, I have to actually do something. I have to consider someone else's life as more important than myself. I have to lay down my life for them. Verse 17, but if anyone in the world has goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? See, grace always has an action to it. When God gives you something, your job is to use it to multiply grace in the kingdom. If you look at someone and say, well, I'll pray for you to get shoes. Well, you got 20 pairs of shoes in your closet. What good is that? That's why we multiply good by doing good. Little children, let us not love in the world or talk, but indeed in truth. Two things you got to do. You want to be in the line of faith, you want to follow after Jesus, say, I'm a Christian, I believe in Him. Then you got to know what is true. You got to do it. Because Cain is always active. He will always be doing evil. It's natural. You hit your thumb with a hammer. Anybody ever cursed after hitting your thumb with a hammer?
Well, I would never swear.
Well, how many times can I hit your hand with a hammer before you start cussing? The evil always seems to pop its head up, doesn't it? You can't educate, you can't legislate the evil out of people. But God can redeem evil by taking it on Himself. And then when you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He's taking your sins, you can go and do likewise. Enduring evil. By this, we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before Him. You want to say, how do I know if I'm a Christian? For whenever our heart condemns us, Eve, remember her second birth announcement, that mom guilt? How her heart felt just condemned at how she raised her children. Whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. You need to hear that. We had Mother's Day not too long ago, didn't we? Wasn't that long ago. But there are so many mothers who hold on to this guilt in their heart. Mothers, He is greater than your heart. He knows the guilt that you have in the past that you're holding on to. Let it go. Give it to Him. Fathers, He knows that you say, well, I should have done more for my kids. But He is greater than the outflowing of your heart because He gave His heart for you in His Son, His only beloved Son. Then our heart, He knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, your heart can't condemn you in Jesus because He's greater than it. Give Him your guilt. Give Him that sin. Let it go and go multiply. Do something good. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and we do what pleases Him. And this is His commandment, that we believe that the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and we love one another. Do you want to be like Lamech and continue to multiply evil? Or do you want to join us in this line of faith with these two birth announcements that say, hey, then people began to call on the name of the Lord.
How do we call on the name of the Lord? We believe that Jesus Christ and His Son loved us, died for us. But you got to do the second. Multiply grace. Give to others. Well, we're going to do the Lord's Supper today. And this is a perfect time to spend reflecting on what we have said. Because here we have the symbol of the broken body and the blood of Christ poured out. See, everyone thinks that sin is just situational. It's just where I'm at. But it's dispositional. It's who I am. So I must take the position of humility and ask for repentance. I want to say it's just my situation. But I know deep down it's my heart. So I need to get on my knees and ask God for repentance. Because repentance is admitting that my dysfunctional life is not going to be good enough to be a good person. I need Christ. I need to take an object of humility, die to myself, and live for others. Let's pray. Most High and Heavenly Father, as we come to do the Lord's Supper, and as we come to lead in a time of reflecting on You, remind us that Your body was broken because You loved us, and Your life was poured out because You thought of others more greater than Yourself. Help us in the days ahead to reflect that truth, to follow Your Son. Help us to let go of our guilt from the past, that we might go forward with You in the future. Let us be known as the line of faith. We trust in faith that Your Son died. We trust in faith that He took our sins. And today we ask forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in order to keep with our time,